Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
Welcome into the Hurricane Hermine edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Literally, we are braving the elements here to bring this podcast. The custodian of Canton insisted that there was no way we were passing on this podcast. So, Ira, welcome. It's good to see you. I nearly died getting here to be with you, but it's a hurricane edition.
Stephen, you know, rain or shine, we owe it to our readers. We owe it to our listeners. And I'm dedicating my column tomorrow, and this podcast, by the way, to the 10,000 or so hardy souls that ventured out to Dale Mabry Highway in the dead of night yesterday to watch their beloved Bucks and cheer on Bernard Reedy and the group in a horrible football game that ultimately will mean zero.
So now you're dedicating columns. Are you the Casey Kasem of Buccaneers?
Look, you gotta respect the diehards. And you know, if Dirk Cutter calls them the diehards and calls them out, we got to do the same, Steve.
Hey, before we get into it here, Ira, did you see that story I had today on JoeBucksFan.com that Brian Glazer was out at the stadium mingling with fans last night, passing out what he called owner's coins? And these owner's coins were, it looked like a giant commemorative kind of silver dollarly looking thing that was good to turn in at any merchandise stand for a free jersey.
Wow. Yeah. Not bad, Steve. You know, years ago, I don't know if you were around, but the Glazers would send out some of their people, and they would scour the upper deck, Steve, before regular season games. It's sort of like a Springsteen concert where they bring people down to the front row. Well, the Glazers were having people brought from the cheap seats into the owner's suite.
Right.
Not a lot of them.
Right,
I remember that. And then they'd have us come down and then talk to these people. And, you know, I think they might be getting back to that, Steve. It starts with a coin, and the next thing you know, they're having a shrimp cocktail with Joe Glazer. Yeah. Not a bad deal.
Yeah, and, you know, I noticed, I thought it was interesting, Darcy Glazer, Kasowitz was on the TV broadcast.
Very rare appearance.
On the television broadcast.
Very rare.
Rondé told her she was the best-looking Glazer, which I thought was...
I'm not sure how that went over. Chris Myers tongue-tied, you know, by the side of a female in the broadcast booth. You know, that game was so bad, Steve, that not even Chris Myers could brighten it up. He's looking for positives. When Jason Light got to the booth, and you know what the first thing Jason Light said? Thank God it's over. Let's get this game over. So, you know, Chris Myers, he can find a silver lining in a hurricane.
Oh, absolutely. He's got that kind of polish. Now, one thing that was talked about a lot last night, Mike Glennon, negative 1 yard throwing the football, which is hard to do. That means you were better than he was last night, Ira, as a Buccaneers quarterback. And... the reality is there's a lot of more chatter about Glennon, given what happened to Teddy Bridgewater. We never really talked to you here on the podcast about Glennon. What's your thoughts?
My thoughts are that he's one of the better backups in the National Football League. And the most important word in that sentence is backup. Backup. His record, and I mean one loss record, granted, bad Buck teams, his one loss record is abysmal in the National Football League. He did not throw a single pass that counted in 2015, so he's rusty. Now, did he help himself in the preseason? I don't think it matters. He's got a lot of tape in the NFL. Can he win you a game or two in a five-game stretch? Yes. If somebody gave me a second rounder, Steve, would he be gone? He'd be gone yesterday. But, you know, we have to be realistic, Steve. People around the NFL may not look at Mike Glennon and evaluate him the way Buck fans do. Jameis Winston isn't going anywhere. He seems to be indestructible. He took every snap. Now, Steve, having said that, you never know what's going to happen this fall. But I don't think the comfort level with Mike Glennon, Steve, is so overwhelming that, you know, it wins the argument against trying to get something for him before he leaves as a free agent. You get nothing. So if anybody bowls over the Bucks, Steve, and gives them what they want, he's gone.
And our readers here on JoeBucksFan.com know that, that of course, Joe himself would get rid of Glennon in a heartbeat for a third-round pick. So I will ask you, would you knock that second rounder you were talking about down to a third rounder? If you were approached with a third-round pick from the Vikings tonight, would you take it?
I think I would take it, Steve. And one more word on this Mike Glennon topic. Have you ever heard a head coach of any sport refer so often to a player's free agent status as Dirk Cutter does to Mike Glennon? Every time he mentions Mike Glennon, he puts a comma in there and says, who will be a free agent in the spring? I've never seen anything like it.
I have never heard it before. It's worth mentioning. And last night, Chris Myers, the guy, our buddy who you talked about.
Our bubbly Chris Myers.
Who is actually a daily JoeBucksFan.com reader.
There you go.
Unless he's been lying to me for the last couple of years.
Chris Myers.
But no, he's not like that. Anyway, Chris Myers said on the broadcast for all to hear that the Bucks attempted to start negotiations for a contract with Glennon, but Glennon is not interested and he wants, quote-unquote, starter's money. And, you know, I think it may be backfiring on the Bucks because Dirk Cutter has said many times publicly that he believes Glennon could be a decent starter in this league. Everyone has pumped that into Glennon's head, and I don't really think that that's accurate. What NFL GM, Ira, in all seriousness, is going to look at Glennon and say, this guy can take us to the promised land?
You know, but at the same time, Steve, you got to cut Glennon some slack in terms of his attitude of his agent. Why should he be in a hurry to re-sign with the Bucks, Steve? He's never going to play. He's got zero chance to play barring an injury. So if in his mind he's a starter, and he's far from the worst backup in the league, Steve. So don't knock a 26-year-old kid for thinking he can get the job done under center. If I'm Glennon, I'm not re-signing with the Bucks. Not a chance. I will take my chances in March, and I will go to a camp that I feel gives me a chance, at least an open competition, and then we'll see what happens.
If you get there. It's an interesting debate. I could make a few reasons. Number one, Ira, and we'll get off the subject, but, man, a team like the Bucks, if they dangle that, hey, here's a three-year, $10 million contract lottery ticket in front of your face, a guaranteed money, maybe you take it, because you don't know what's out there. You just never know until you get there. And the way that Jameis Winston is willing to sacrifice his body, logic says he's primed to get drilled and knocked around a bit in the coming years. But I don't blame Glennon either. Now, one thing you mentioned about Glennon, Ira, is that he hasn't had a lot to work with and has been on some bad Buck teams. And that brings us to the depth of the receiving core that he's been throwing to in some of these preseason games. We've talked about it before, but you've got another look at Bernard Reedy and friends. Are you still set on adding a couple more receivers that that's happening?
Way too many drop passes, Steve. And I'm not blaming it all on the raindrops. I'm not. Buck fans are tired of excuses around here, Steve. It's the end. The end of Excuseville. It's over. And
that's the headline, I think.
You know,
Excuseville.
Shepard, Reedy, die before he got hurt. Throw a lasso around him. They're the same guy. Nobody has separated themselves. I am sticking to my guns. There will be at least one new receiver, I believe two, on your Buck final 53-man roster that is not in the building at the current time. I don't blame them. But, Steve, you know, we have to look at it like this, too. And this is not a bad thing from a Buck perspective. Listen to what we're talking about in terms of our concerns. We're talking about fourth and fifth receivers as an issue. It's bugging us. It's frustrating Buck fans. Steve, we used to talk about the starting quarterback. Now you're talking about the fourth and fifth receiver. I think it's a little bit of an indication of how this roster, generally speaking, has been improved significantly under Jason Light, regardless of his free agent foibles, and there have been many. He drafts well.
He drafts well. I would have loved to see him draft a receiver, except for Kenny Bell. He didn't draft too well there, but a fifth-round pick, you can't expect much.
That's right.
I get your point. We're obsessing over something that is probably indicative of a good thing going on the roster. I think fans, though, are just a little shell-shocked still from last year when having to tap that depth chart of receivers to die, and Humphreys, scared people. It limited the offense, and we don't want it to happen again. And it feels like it wasn't addressed, but
at least we'll Humphreys see. Has stepped up.
Oh, he's developed. And I think Monken is really it's got done a lot of good things with the whole receiving core this year. That was definitely a step up.
Are we counting the tight end spot as part of the receiving core, Mr. Isbitz?
Well, what we are counting is dollar signs, and this is the Ed Morse Cadillac and Ed Morse Brandon Cadillac and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa presented podcast, which we're so thankful to them for presenting this and presenting all of your work here on JoeBucksFan.com. For those listening to the podcast for the first time, and it's growing, Ira is producing columns for us on JoeBucksFan.com Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays are the podcasts. And
there will be personal appearances.
And there'll be some personal appearances. He's happy to take a selfie with you for $47. but you can find Ira every day on the website. And even under all of his work in this podcast right now, there's a little line there that says Everything Ira, and you can tap into his archives.
And there will also be takeaways from every Buck game this season. That's right.
Exactly. After each game, Ira's been doing his, not counting last night, of course, his 10 takeaways, which people like reading that stuff. And
the reason I didn't do it last night, Steve, was the number one takeaway was the game shouldn't have been played. You should have canceled the game.
Yeah.
So, it's not worth it.
You could have just cut and paste that 10 times.
But starting with the game at the Georgia Dome.
Absolutely,
We'll have my takeaways.
We'll have some Sunday night Ira or Monday morning Ira stuff. All right, Ira. Now, tomorrow you do have a column. Before we get to that other topic, tomorrow you have a column coming out. Of course, it's Friday. And
is this going to be a teaser, Steve, for your for our listeners?
Well, a little bit of a teaser. I know it's something uplifting. You had told me you're writing something uplifting. What's the gist?
The gist is twofold. One, don't read anything into the preseason. And I give a few examples of why with the 2008 Detroit Lions, Mr. Isbitz. The 2002 Bucks were humiliated at home in the preseason by Steve Spurrier, who poured it on in Spurrier fashion. Spurrier went on to finish 7-9. The Bucks ended up hoisting up the Vince Lombardi trophy that season. And that was the third preseason game. That was your dress rehearsal game. So that's number one. But 1A, Steve, and I don't think you can overstate this. The Bucks are ready to go. They're full bore. They're full go. Other teams are scrambling. Look at the Vikings. Look at the Cowboys. It doesn't have to be a quarterback that goes down in the preseason. The Saints suffered a major injury. The Falcons are grappling with this rookie safety who looked very good in camp. He was plugged in as a starter. He's not going to be ready for the Bucks in week one. This is going on all over the NFL. But it's not going on right here in Tampa. Lewis Murphy doesn't count, Steve.
No.
He wasn't going to play in week one.
That's last year's news.
Last year's news. Sweezy hasn't been a factor in our conversations for months. Nobody's talking about Sweezy.
Guy hasn't practiced.
So these are not things that came unexpectedly in the month of August.
I got your point. I'm looking forward to reading it.
I think it gives Cutter a leg up. Now we'll see what he does with it.
Yeah, and the expectations are there. Even Cutter said recently, or this past week, that the team is deeper than it was last year. And that's a big statement from a head coach who needs to take a step with a team that he inherited.
Steve, that's a great point because, check me if I'm wrong here, when Lovie Smith, simple as that, took over the reins in 2014, correct me here, I believe it might have been his very first press conference when he was asked, what kind of team are you inheriting? He said, you know, I'm inheriting a 4-12 ball club. That's what they are.
That's true.
And he kept repeating that.
That's true.
He then went out and won two games. But Cutter's not doing that.
Yeah, you're right. That's an excellent point. That Lovey must have said 100 times, no matter what he would say, he'd end it with, but we're a 4-12 football team. And he repeated that. We wove that into almost everything that he was saying.
Immediately lowering expectations.
Right. Cutter's been doing the exact opposite since he got here, which is just beautiful. You know, the guy, I love the way this guy
operates.
He's
not promising a playoff spot, Steve.
He's not promising anything. He's just calling it straight, which is a lot of fun. It's so refreshing. And I hope the fans appreciate it. It might doom Cutter.
It's going to be a lot of fun for guys like you and I. It really will.
Yeah, it already is. It already is. Now, speaking of fun for guys like me, Ira, the last podcast, you're puffing your chest, doing what you do.
I knew this wasn't going to end.
Doing your shtick, saying that ASJ is back. He's made a comeback. You were wrong.
He's got the look of a tiger.
Yeah, you're telling me I'm wrong, that he's not done, which I told you a long time ago. And his true colors, in many ways, came out last night during that game. The Bucks hung him out to dry to play in the fourth quarter,
so to speak,
of a preseason game. He had a meltdown. Now what? Now where are we?
You know, as soon as he started barking towards the sidelines, the only thing I thought of, Steve, was doing this podcast with you, and I knew the subject would come up again. And here you are again.
I believe it was Tuesday you said you're looking for 60 catches. You want to take that back?
I said he better get 60 catches, and now it might be down to 6. Steve, I'm going to say this. If Buck fans think that he's not going to make this roster, and if you think he's not going to make this roster, I think you're mistaken. Now, is he going to play a critical role? It's looking dubious. This last one didn't help him. It didn't help him. Let me throw this out at you, and I might be getting ahead of myself, and you're very good at stopping me before I get ahead of myself. But, Steve, the facts are the facts, and you can never get around coaches look at things a little different than general managers, and I keep going back to this one thing. If I'm Jason Light, it's hard for me, grudgingly, would I have to look the Glazers in the eye and say, I screwed up that second round pick. I don't want to do that. So I want to give myself every chance and give Seferian Jenkins, Steve, every chance to get back in the good graces. And then he pulls a stunt like last night. Just when you think he's matured, he sees the light, here comes the darkness. I think he's going to make this team, Steve. I might be wrong, but things don't look good for ASJ right now.
Well, I never thought he matured, Ira, which was the whole point. I think he makes the team as well. I think he makes the team. I think if he's your number four tight end behind Brandon Myers right now, let's say in Dirk Cutter's mind, hey, that makes ASJ a very valuable and impressive number four tight end.
Could Brandon Myers make this team and ASJ doesn't make this team? I mean, that's hard to believe.
That's very hard to believe, but I think ASJ's play has locked up a spot for Brandon Myers.
Interesting.
I don't think they're going to go with three tight ends and have number three be ASJ.
I think Myers was clearly in trouble.
He was in trouble, but I don't think he's in trouble anymore. Yeah. I really don't. It wouldn't make sense to put that kind of faith in ASJ, and I think Cutter here has to figure out some level of accountability for Seferian Jenkins. Where does this end? And I'll come back to this before, and a lot of readers on JoeBucksFan.com, at least in the comments, were blasting me because it didn't appear in the Tampa Bay Times or they didn't hear about it on the radio. But in Jacksonville, Jameis freaked out. We wrote several stories about this. He was screaming at ASJ on the field. When the second unit was in, when ASJ was in with Glennon, Jameis was yelling at him to run, you know, telling basically three times he said it repeatedly, run. He was on ASJ's case for not running. He was on his case for not being where he was supposed to be. That's telling stuff. And now it just never ends with this guy. But
Steve, one thing we can say for sure, knowing the dynamics of this football team, if you've lost Jameis Winston, You're buried.
Exactly.
You're buried. You're buried with your teammates.
Yeah.
You're buried with Cutter. And you're probably buried Whitley.
Yeah, which is, you know, that, I mean, seeing that with my own eyes, like, this guy, this is Jameis. Jameis is coming down on you, and how many other guys has he cracked down on publicly that we've seen? None?
But you want, you understand my point about the
investiture.
Yes,
investiture.
Yes. It's a fact.
It was the word of August. You taught me investiture. And if you don't understand it, look it up or Google it, and you'll learn about it. All right, Ira, anything else on your plate here?
Well, I just like the fact that the Bucks have an extra day, Steve. That doesn't hurt. Everybody else is, you know, playing a day later than the Bucks. I asked Cutter in your honor last week, the other day, and I don't know if you heard me, but I
heard
you. This was an Izbit's question.
I heard you.
Do you have a tactical advantage in terms of looking at all the other games, in terms of maybe picking up a guy or two, the fact that you're not playing Thursday night? He didn't go for that. He threw dirt on that.
Yeah, he threw dirt on that. But you know, listening to NFL radio and some others, it's a clear advantage. You have more time. Time is always the enemy of GMs
that's
and
right.
coaches, and you get an extra 24 hours for broader evaluation out of the fourth preseason game and everybody else playing tonight. Hopefully the Bucks will do something.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. That far from it, but I think there's a feeling that I'm getting from you that in large degree during this preseason and perhaps even training camp itself at one buck, you didn't see a lot of juice. You didn't see a lot of passion, Steve. Is that bothering you a little bit?
Well, you brought it up. I believe you wrote a whole column about it. And last night, well, I thought it was especially alarming last night on the Buccaneers radio network. I forgot the exact terminology, the phrase that was used, but Cutter was very emotional. And
he might have said juice.
I figured it out. Lackluster.
Lackluster.
That the team, he was asked a question about the team defensively, and he put it in the broader sense of how they just were so lackluster to start the game in the first half.
I'm not even sure that's for execution rather than energy. I think it's energy.
Well, we watched the game. I mean, it was the Redskins were playing on a different level early. I mean, their guy was running the ball down our throat, and that's just blocking in the trenches. It wasn't exactly a complicated offense.
Bucks missing tackles left and right.
Yeah, bad tackling and no execution on the offense. And like you said, raindrops aside, you know, it's the same for both teams. But what troubles me is just the broader picture of Cutter multiple times saying lackluster, no fire, start fast, some slow starts.
It's happened too often. It's happened too often.
There's a lack of response there that he's got to figure out. Now, that's part of what feeling his team out is about as a first-year head coach, but he's got to bring that juice in 10 days.
And, you know, Steve, we've seen in some of the preseason games, after we saw a clip of Winston going crazy,
then they
on
come
the
out
sidelines.
Then they come out flat.
They come out flat.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. And the irony of one of those was Winston came out flat himself.
Yes.
After leading one of the charge. He came out 0-for-6, and was that Jacksonville?
Yes, it was Jacksonville, yes.
So it's something to keep an eye on. I mean, it's all meaningless now, but, man, if they—
All this will be forgotten if they win week one, Steve. If they don't, it's gonna be a recurring theme.
Well, I'll say this. If they come out and play good football, and you know they're winning 17-14 at halftime, and they lose the game, that's one thing. But you come out flat and play Chase in
Atlanta, you're down 14-0,
and Cutter's up there saying we couldn't start fast. That's not going to be acceptable to anybody, especially you,
especially me, and especially to an ownership group that has shown very little patience the last few years.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, Ira? Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, they got a little extra juice with this Hurricane Hermine edition of the podcast. The summer sales event is still on at Ed Morris. So you definitely want to go to EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And Ira, next up in our podcast, that's your prediction podcast. That's next Tuesday. You got to call it as you see it on Tuesday.
For the season?
For the season.
For the season.
For the season.
All right. We're not going to do game by game, Izbits. We're not going to do that.
No.
That's silly.
None of that BS.
People
Come on.
Do that when the schedule counts. The stupidest.
You think I care what you think the
absolutely.
Bucks are going to do against the Chiefs in November? I just put the season on the table.
All right. And also, you know, later in the week, we will zero in on your Atlanta Falcons
Absolutely. Thanks, Ira.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.